Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
A very blessed Christmas season to us, and we're thankful to have some guests with us as well, so a warm welcome. As Pastor King Yao has shared, our sermon today is on the gift of peace as part of our four-part Christmas service series called The Gift of Christmas. Now, what is peace? You know, whenever I think of peace, I can't help but remember a very amusing scene in the movie called Kung Fu Panda. Now, how many of you have seen Kung Fu Panda? Okay, quite a number of us. You know how time flies? That movie was released 16 years ago. Wow, that long, right? So, the scene I was referring to was, you know, Master Shifu, he was mumbling, "Inner peace, inner peace." And suddenly, he pauses and shouts, you know, "What is that flapping noise? Keep quiet!" And then it goes back, inner peace, you know. Just to illustrate how challenging it is to try to find inner peace, even when we are like Paul, you know, going away, far away, to try to do some meditation away from the busyness of our Singapore lives. We can find ourselves so easily distracted, isn't it? Huh? And these distractions could come even from our own body actions. Recall how he let off some wind. food cravings, thoughts, or just hearing the various inner voices crying out for our attention within our souls. As such, peace is elusive, as much as we all want to seek it. So this morning, I hope that after our sermon, each of us will receive the gift of peace which Jesus wants to give to us. And this peace is not so transient, but one that is everlasting. Our Bible verse for this morning is John 14:27, and this reads, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." From this verse, I hope we can see that there are two very contrasting kinds of peace that we can choose to have for our lives. And this is the choice between a peace the world gives and the peace that Jesus gives. Before we begin, I invite us to bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, grant us open hearts to be blessed by your living word. In Jesus' name, our Prince of Peace, amen. Thank you. Now, regarding our key verse in John 14:27, let me just highlight some important points for the context. First, quite obviously, Jesus was speaking these words himself. The second thing is, of course, Jesus spoke these words after his last supper with his disciples in John chapter 13. Now, by this time, Jesus already knew he was going to depart from the earth. And Judas had left to go and execute his plan to betray Jesus. And finally, that Jesus had already told his disciples that he would be leaving them. So this was kind of part of his farewell message to his intimate group of disciples. Finally, the start of John chapter 14 in a way sets the context for John 14:27. Because John 14:1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Now, let us explore the peace Jesus gives to his disciples as opposed to the peace the world gives. So let's start with the peace the world gives. In John 14:27, when Jesus talks about "not as the world gives," he's referring to the peace that the world gives. And what is this? Now, for the Greeks, they think of peace in essentially negative terms, and that is the absence of hostilities. Likewise, too, for the Romans. when the Romans ruled during the New Testament times, there was a period of peace of about 200 years, which they called Pax Romana, which is Latin for peace. Now, this peace, however, was achieved by Augustus and his successors by the sword and kept in place by the sheer brutal force of the Roman military. Such is the kind of peace the world gifts. It is a peace that is based on the absence of troubles, conflicts, and problems. In other words, the moment troubles, conflicts, problems appear, this peace quickly disappears. How many of us know that there is an index called the Global Peace Index? Anyone? Okay, I read about this some time back and I looked it up again. And it is basically an index produced by the Institute of Economics and Peace, and it covers 163 countries, 99.7% of the world population, and it basically measures the level of peacefulness, and it's largely premised on this Greek idea of peace. Now, are we keen to find out how peaceful the world is based on this Global Peace Index? Okay, let me share from their 18th report for year 2024, and here are their key findings. First, there are currently 56 active conflicts, the most since the end of World War II. Secondly, conflicts are also becoming more internationalized, with 92 countries now engaged in conflicts beyond their borders, the most since the inception of this index in 2008. Third, the likelihood of another major conflict is higher than at any time since the inception of this index. This is the 12th deterioration in peacefulness in the last 16 years. Maybe the final point summarizes their whole report, and it says the world has become less peaceful over the past 16 years. You may be wondering, where is Singapore in this index? Well, it actually ranks top 5. Everyone say yay. Thankful, isn't it? It ranks after Iceland, Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand. Now, lest we become too complacent that Singapore is at great peace, let me quote our Minister for Defence, Mr. Ng Eng Hen, in his Committee of Supply debate in 2022. And this is what he says: "We will always be a small country without the backing of a hinterland with abundant resources. Our small size also means that in the world of international politics, Singapore is a price taker and not a price setter. At the same time, the security landscape grows more complex and new threats have emerged, exacerbated by the accelerated adoption of digital and communication technology." A recent example of our vulnerabilities is in a CNA 18th October 2024 report, where it was reported that a 17-year-old Singaporean supporter radicalized, self-radicalized by a well-known religious terrorist group, was arrested weeks before his plan to kill men in Tampines, not of his faith. According to K. Shanmugam, our Law and Home Affairs Minister, this was a very close shave. In short, regarding world peace, the situation is concerning and consistently deteriorating. For Singapore, we should certainly not feel over complacent, as we are ever vulnerable. So that's the global peace landscape, right? So let's move closer to peace at our personal levels. Now, for many of us, peace would mean an absence of freedom from, or not being disturbed, or by the absence of problems, troubles, negative events in our lives. Or more positively, for some of us, peace is very simple, when everything goes according to my plan. Here are some dictionary definitions regarding personal peace. Cambridge Dictionary describes peace as the state of not being interrupted or annoyed by worry, problems, noise, or unwanted actions. Merriam-Webster describes peace as freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions, or a harmony in personal relations, or a state of concord or tranquility. Collins describes peace as being undisturbed in calm, quiet surroundings, feeling contented, not at all worried, or friendly with others without quarrels. Now, from these descriptions, we can immediately see the challenge to having personal peace, isn't it? This is because we all know that life is never completely problem or trouble-free. The reality of life is that we will always have some problem at some point in time or another, be it with God, with others, with self, with health, sex, money, power, anger, lust, whatever sins or addictions we may be battling with, work demands, family relationships. What peace then can the world give amidst such life's realities? To be fair, the world does offer some decent practical helps, such as meditation, deep breathing, self-care, having a positive mindset, loving yourself, being grateful, gazing at nature, accepting yourself and others, and having meaningful relationships. And these practical helps can actually give us a little calm, stillness, and even some peace. Yet, any peace by such practicals are at best momentary, right? As we saw in Paul trying to meditate. When they are practiced, assuming we can generate our own peace by our own efforts. For Christians, however, believers in Jesus Christ, we would know that any real long-lasting peace without God is impossible. To quote C.S. Lewis, God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. This is perhaps why Jesus contrasts the peace the world gives and his peace which he gives. Now, in John 14:27, the word peace in the Greek is spelled Irene or Irene, and it translates the familiar Hebrew word shalom. Now, we all know that shalom is a very rich word. It is a state of wholeness, of well-being, not just of security or the absence of problems and troubles. It is about a sense of being restored to wholeness in our relationships, in our health. Now, based on the Greek words and the Hebrew words, I can think of at least four kinds of peace regarding the peace Jesus gives. First, it is a peace with God. We find that peace described by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 1, which reads, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, a key word there is therefore, right? We all know that whenever we see therefore, we need to ask, what is it therefore, right? It actually links this verse to all of Paul's brilliant arguments in the first four chapters in his letter to the Romans. And these four chapters covers why no one is righteous, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's standards, how no one can be at peace with God, because everyone is under God's judgment and separated from God. This separation of us from God is what ultimately accounts for the restlessness or the lack of peace in our souls. No matter how accomplished, successful, or how fulfilled we may feel in our lives. As a 17th century French philosopher Blaise Pascal eloquently puts it, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator made known through Jesus Christ. My friends, any restlessness in our souls is because we are really seeking for the God-shaped vacuum in our lives to be filled by none other than our Creator God. As such, Romans 5 verse 1 gives us hope, because here God can deem us righteous in Jesus Christ, and we can be reconciled to God through Christ to have this peace with God. In Romans 5 verses 8 to 11, Paul reveals that God gives us this peace because He loved us, and He loved us while we were yet sinners. And He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for the penalty of our sins, so that whoever believes in who Jesus is and what He's done can be saved from God's judgment and hence reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. This, therefore, is the peace we can now have with God through His Son, as Jesus is the only one who can reconcile us to God. So the first peace is a peace with God. The second peace is a peace with others. We find this peace in Ephesians 2, verses 13 to 18. I won't read the verses out, but essentially they describe how Christ, Jesus Christ, removed the enmity, the hatred, the hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles to make them one in the body of Christ, and reconciling these two groups of people in one body to God through His death on the cross. My friends, one of the greatest stressors in our life is relational tensions, isn't it? And yet, as a believer in Jesus Christ for over 30 years, I can testify how many believers, how many Christians, when they have experienced their own reconciliation with God, are able to reconcile with others in the very many estranged, troubled, and often challenged relationships, be it within our families, between parents and children, between husband and wives, to their workplaces, between bosses and colleagues, and among colleagues. So my friends, when we have this peace with God, it should lead us to a peace with others. Then there's a third kind of peace. It is a peace with self. A peace with self is when we can accept ourselves, knowing that God loves us. We read in Romans 5:8 that God loves us while we were yet sinners. Such a peace with ourselves brings forth an amazing security in one's identity, independent of our successes or failures in life. And this is a precious gift of peace that only our God can give. So through Christ, we have first, peace with God; second, peace with others; third, peace with self; and finally, a fourth peace, which is the peace from God, or the peace of God. We find this peace in Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, and these verses read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And then comes verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." My friends, this peace is just simply amazing. Why? Because first, it is a divine peace that comes from God, from outside of us, outside of and independent of our circumstances. It is a peace that comes from God into us. Secondly, it is a peace which surpasses all understanding. Now, these verses are found in the letter of Philippians, and we know at the time the Philippians were being persecuted. So it would be very understandable if they were troubled and anxious. And yet, Paul was writing about this peace of God from his prison cell. That should have encouraged them. And finally, this peace guards our hearts and our minds in Jesus. And this would have been exemplified by the Apostle Paul himself, because he was amazingly joyful while being in prison. How then can we have this peace? Well, practically, it is when we depend on God in prayer, regarding our concerns and with thanksgiving in our hearts, praying to God without anxiety, as Philippians 4:6 exhorts us. And yet, it is easier said than done, isn't it? Oh, do not be anxious about anything. For us, the key is really in the preceding words to Philippians 4:6. And these words read, "The Lord is at hand" in the ESV. Or, "The Lord is near" in the NASB or NIV versions. Now, while various commentators believe that Paul was referring to his second coming of Jesus to assure the Philippians as they face persecution, renowned scholar Gordon Fee notes in his commentary here that Paul could also be encouraging the Philippians to pray in the midst of their present distress, because the Lord is near in a very real way to those who call on his name. Let me come to a close. As we come back to our key verse in John 14:27, we must remember that Jesus was addressing his disciples at a time where it was now clear to them that he would be leaving them on this earth. Now, we must remember that the disciples had given up their homes and their jobs to follow Jesus. So if Jesus is going to be leaving them, you can understand why they would be troubled and anxious. And hence, how reassuring those words of Jesus would have been to them at both the start of John 14 verse 1, leading to his words in John 14:27. John 14 verse 1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And John 14:27, our key verse says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." My friends, Christmas season can be filled with parties, a lot of laughter and joy. And yet, some of us are going through some challenges and troubles. Perhaps it is family, work, health, finance, or some addictions or sins that we may be struggling with. Perhaps some of us are just going through very difficult times right now, and we are anxious, not knowing what the uncertain future holds. Some of us have lost a loved one, and we are still struggling in our grief to find God's peace as we adjust to life without them by our sides no longer. May we remember that the disciples of Jesus felt likewise. And just as Jesus assured them of his gift of peace amidst their troubles and anxieties, Jesus offers each of us that same gift of peace today. You know, as I think of the peace of God, I cannot help but remember a very life-transforming encounter I had with an elderly woman 20 years ago. That woman was the late mother-in-law of our missionary pastor, Pastor Glenn. I met her because I was in Bangkok for a business trip, and when I learned of her being hospitalized, dying from cancer, I wanted to visit her to minister to her. Unfortunately, Pastor Glenn and Bim were engaged that evening, so I had to make my way to the hospital myself. Now, it was the first time I took a motorcycle taxi in Bangkok. and I was hanging on for dear life. As the motorcyclist weaved in and out of the traffic, I think I could have suffocated him in the process. Reminds me of a joke of how a reckless taxi driver and a passionate evangelist, when they died, stood at the gates of heaven, and St. Peter gave the bigger heavenly mansion to the taxi driver. So the evangelist was very puzzled, and he looked up at St. Peter and he said, "Why?" To which St. Peter calmly replied, "When you preach, very few people pray, but when he drives, everybody prays." Back to the story, when I reached the hospital and saw Pastor Glenn's mother-in-law, I saw a most amazing sight. Here was a woman sitting upright with a captivating smile and a golden glow of light upon her face. And this is amidst bloodstains on her hospital gown. You see, the story is this. A few days ago, before my visit, Pastor Sui Bo, another one of our missionary pastors, had flown from Singapore to Bangkok to visit her, and he led her to Christ. Doesn't our God deserve an offering? A clap offering. So my friends, here was a woman about to die very shortly, in great pain, and yet she had a peace in her heart. A peace that was lighted up upon her face, which only have come from God. According to Pastor Glenn, I wasn't the only one that noticed this glow. In fact, all her friends who visited commented to Pastor Glenn likewise, that there was a glow of peace upon his mother-in-law's face. Subsequently, Pastor Glenn shared further backstories of how for many years they were praying for his mother-in-law to receive Christ, but she always held back because she had fears. She had fears of evil spirits, as she always had nightmares. Yet, that day, when she received Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior, all the nightmares were gone. And she even had sweet dreams of Jesus. I think God deserves another clap offering. So here was I, all good intent, wanting to visit his mother-in-law to minister to her. I left totally blessed and awed by the peace of God I saw glowing in her face. I recount this story almost as if it happened a week ago, but I trust you can tell how impacted I was even until today when I think of her 20 years back when I met her. My friends, this gift of peace from God, which surpasses all understanding, which transcends our circumstances, even when we are afflicted with a terminal illness in great pain and dying, as we can see in Pastor Glenn's mother-in-law, this gift of peace can be ours to have in Jesus Christ, whatever our situations in life. Yet this gift of peace should not be a surprise. You see, more than 700 years ago, even before Christ was born, the birth of Christ was already predicted in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And one of his majestic titles, we actually sang that in the song that Karen led us, the Prince of Peace. That was one of his majestic titles. Now, when Jesus was born some 2,000 years ago, the angels rejoiced. And Luke 2, verse 13 to 14 records for us, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" That same peace Jesus gives is available to us today. It is peace with God, peace with others, a peace with self, and a peace from God. Brothers and sisters, some of you know that a few months back I had a health situation which momentarily caused me some anxiety. To be very honest, it surprised me. My anxiety surprised me. I always thought I was very anchored with God's peace until this episode happened. As they sometimes say, you know how deeply anchored you are in God's peace when the storms of life hits you. So when my health situation lasted a full month, I found myself toggling between moments of His peace and moments of anxiety. It also did not help when my final test result showed some indicators of concern. Yet by God's grace, the breakthrough came when I was reminded of Jesus as my Prince of Peace, and of my need to deeply wrestle with, claim, practice Philippians 4 verses 5 to 7 once again. And by God's grace, His peace, the peace of God, outside of myself, outside of my circumstances, outside of the test results, filled my heart once again. Let us pray. We have some guests here today. And perhaps we hear of this gift of peace and it's something that is stirring in our hearts because we know we want that peace. If that is you right now, that peace can fill your hearts. That peace can be yours to claim this morning. Because that peace is found in Jesus. And it is only Jesus that reconciles us to God because we are first sinners and separated from Him. So if that's your desire to be reconciled to God, to have that peace with God, which we spoke about this morning, with all eyes closed, can I invite you to raise your hands? I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? Perhaps you're too shy to raise your hands. Let me just lead you in this simple prayer. Lord, I've sinned against You. I'm a sinner and I know I'm separated from You. But yet, Lord, this morning I'm hearing that when I receive Jesus as the Son of God, when I believe in the work that He has done, dying on the cross for my sins, I can be reconciled with You, my Maker, once again. Lord, I receive You as my personal Lord and Savior. And as I do, I believe that I'm no longer separated from You, but I'm now a child of God. If you have prayed that prayer with all eyes closed, could you raise your hands? I'd like to pray for you. Anyone? Father, we just pray, oh God, that perhaps, oh, there is someone who has raised your hands. Praise be to God. Let's keep our eyes closed, Father, for that hand that is raised and perhaps some hands that are a little shy. We believe that You see, O God. And I just want to pray for these brothers and sisters that as they have prayed that prayer of faith, that prayer that will reconcile them with God as their Maker and their Heavenly Father, that today You will fill their hearts with the gift of peace they so desperately desire.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.